And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And if you had any doubt that the political race, the race between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump has heated up, well, that means that you weren't watching last night in the State of the Union address or any of the reactions to the State of the Union address. It was a highly partisan speech. And the consensus seems to be from most observers, including some observers on the right and on the Trump side of things, that it was an effective speech for making President Biden look more formidable, more ready to actually get into the arena and to take on his very formidable opponent, Donald J. Trump. At the National Journal, the hotline, they write that President Biden came out swinging at last night's State of the Union address. He slammed former President Trump for siding with Russian President Vladimir Putin. He rushed to the defense of IVF treatments, and he even referred to an undocumented immigrant as an illegal. That is held to be one of the gaffes that Biden made last night.
Excuse me?
The main purpose of his speech, though, was to convince the American people that he still has the wherewithal to fulfill the role of president. In this regard, says the National Journal, he succeeded with flying colors. His speech was full of blister and bluster. He chided Republicans for blocking his immigration reform bill. Even Senator James Lankford, the Republican of Oklahoma, was nodding to Biden's message approvingly. And Senator Lankford, in fact, people who read lips, he was mouthing the words, that's true, when President Biden was talking about that immigration reform bill that also, by the way, would have provided the much-needed aid to Ukraine. It was striking last night. A number of members of Congress, including people on both sides, the Democratic side and the Republican side, were wearing Ukrainian colors, that yellow and blue color scheme that is part of the Ukrainian flag. The other thing about the speech last night is the ratings were good, especially when compared to the ratings last year. In February 7th, 2023, President Biden gave a State of the Union address, and that totaled 23 million viewers, including all of the major cable networks, plus NBC, LX, Telemundo, Univision, PBS, CNN, Newsmax, and News Nation. The they had 23 million as opposed to this 27.7 million so far this year. And this year's number doesn't yet include those additional seven platforms. For instance, the Spanish language platforms. It is going to be a very big improvement in the ratings for what people saw this year. Now, part of that may be that we are right in the middle of a presidential race, and people are going to have to make a selection, a conclusion, on which of these two virtually certain now nominees are going to deserve the choice of the American people. Meanwhile, they continue talking about running a candidate for the No Labels Party, which still does not have a significant number of states where it is on the ballot. And the fact that they're gathered, the delegates, so-called, for what they consider a No Labels convention, and they don't have any idea as to who the candidate would likely be, I mean, I think that that says a great deal. Apparently, people are now talking about Robert Kennedy has been shopping around some kind of party that he can identify with to help get his name on the ballot in more than, I believe, he has two states so far that he's actually qualified to be on the ballot. Could he be a potential candidate for no labels? Well, he would have to choose, I guess, someone from the Republican side to be his vice presidential running mate, and hard to imagine who that would be. People of America may not like the idea that it's down to a choice between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, but it is. On the Michael Medved show, we're going to be talking to NBC's Jonathan Allen about reactions to the debate. Then we're going to be speaking to Tom Nichols of Atlantic Magazine about the Katie Britt address, which has attracted a lot of attention. It was a bold move by the Republican leadership to take someone who basically is unknown in the American public. She was selected largely because she is the youngest woman ever to be elected to the Senate. She's 42 years old. As she rightly pointed out in her address from her kitchen in Montgomery, Alabama, as she pointed out, she is actually, Joe Biden has been what she has calls it, a perpetual politician. He has been in politics, in elective office, longer than she has been alive. Okay, that is dramatic, of course. In terms of my reaction to the speech that Joe Biden gave last night, first of all, the most important thing about the speech was not anything specific about issues, though I think it is significant that he is planning to authorize the big construction of some kind of offshore facility off the coast of the Gaza Strip that can help facilitate getting emergency supplies, humanitarian supplies to the people of Gaza, with, one assumes, a very careful inspection to make sure that none of it goes into strengthening Hamas. And I believe the Israelis, who are in operative control of a great deal of the territory of Gaza right now, will make sure that's the case. President Biden spoke about that. That's not going to win over some of the pro-Hamas sentiment that is very much against him. What the speech did accomplish is that Biden is not a tired old man. The person who delivered that speech last night and then hung around for nearly an hour afterward chatting with people, and they were both Republicans and Democrats. If you recognize the Congress people, not George Santos, however, who actually was there at the State of the Union address, and he is planning to run for Congress again, apparently, in a different district. But with all of that, the one word that I think was most important in what the president achieved last night was energy. It was projecting energy. And yes, there is no question at all that Joe Biden, in many of his recent appearances, seemed to be tired. If he can maintain that kind of energy that he projected last night through the course of the campaign, I think he's a likely winner. But the question about continuing to project that energy, he was asked today. He's campaigning in Pennsylvania, and he has a very demanding schedule coming up of travel. But he was asked, is he going to agree to debate Trump? We will get to that and what Biden's answer means. Also, what does this mean for how this... On the Michael Medved show, to get some sense of... the impression, I think, that was left by Joe Biden last night, Republicans have said that it's going to hurt him, actually, in the general election because he came across as angry. And I think the president, the word that I would use, which is a more accurate, he didn't come across so much angry as feisty and somebody who was actually spoiling for a fight. When he was asked by reporters, shouted at him, will you agree to debate Donald Trump right now? And he said it depends on his behavior. And I'm not sure what kind of behavioral boundaries President Biden is hoping to enforce. But there's been stories last night. When I was getting ready to watch the speech on my computer screen, I got a cell phone lengthy message with President Trump's State of the Union speech. He'll get to give a State of the Union speech about a year from now if he wins this election. But he probably is, who knows? He might have another State of the Union speech. The one last night didn't reach that many people. And that was a very angry speech. He called Biden psychotic. He said, that guy is psycho, and which is a level of back and forth that does not indicate that this is going to be a campaign that's going to be characterized on either side by graciousness and nobility and generosity of spirit. It's going to be a bitter and difficult campaign where President Biden last night made it very clear that he believes that President Trump, with his activities leading to and trying to explain away the riots of January 6th, where police officers were hospitalized and 140 of them, and were in fact stoutly attacked, that but this is one of those issues that Biden brought up at the very beginning of his speech. He opened his State of the Union address by talking about how historic this moment is, mentioning that generally we've had foreign threats to the country. And he talked about a State of the Union address that that President Franklin Roosevelt gave in 1941, which was followed a few months later by Pearl Harbor. And he said that we've also had other times where there have been internal threats to the United States, like the Civil War. And he said this is a rare time when we are suffering from both. And the external threats with war in the Ukraine and Vladimir Putin rampaging and threatening to rampage against our allies in NATO, and also the danger of domestic violence and insurrection. And there he spoke, of course, about January 6th and President Trump's refusal to accept a normal, legal, legitimate election. And here was President Biden speaking and generating some boos when he spoke about January 6th. Clip 14.
We all saw with our own eyes the insurrectionists were not patriots. They'd come to stop the peaceful transfer of power, to overturn the will of the people. January 6th lies about the 2020 election and the plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War. But they failed. America stood. America stood strong, and democracy prevailed. We must be honest. The threat to democracy must be defended. My predecessor and some of you here seek to bury the truth about January 6th. I will not do that. This is the moment to speak the truth and to bury the lies. Here's the simple truth. You can't love your country only when you win.
Also, you see some of the weaknesses in delivery and sometimes blowing words. I'm quite sure that the text of his speech, which had been carefully prepared, did not include the phrase, the threat to democracy must be defended. It would be the threat to democracy must be defended against, or we must defend against threats to democracy. He also got booed for bringing up with NATO's newest member in the gallery. He introduced the Prime Minister of Sweden, Mr. Christensen, he introduced the Prime Minister, who was sitting right next to Jill Biden in the gallery, and he took some applause and stood up, and he actually stood up and applauded for President Biden at several points in his speech. But he then brought up the point that President Trump had indeed said publicly several times that for NATO members that he believes have not paid their fair share for military support, that he would encourage Vladimir Putin to attack them. Here is what President Biden had to say, and you can hear the response. This is clip 15.
Assistance to Ukraine is being blocked by those who want to walk away from our world leadership. Wasn't long ago when a Republican president named Ronald Reagan thundered, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Now my predecessor, a former Republican president, tells Putin, quote, "Do whatever the hell you want." That's a quote. A former president actually said that, bowing down to a Russian leader. I think it's outrageous, it's dangerous, and it's unacceptable.
And despite the fact that people were yelling from the Republican side against using that quote, it is one of those statements that President Trump has not taken back. And the idea that you would turn on people in the NATO alliance and say to Vladimir Putin, do whatever the hell you want. Well, at least that acknowledges that Vladimir Putin might have sinister goals in mind and motivations to doing some of whatever he wants to do. We're going to be speaking to Jonathan Allen of NBC, who is covering the entire campaign. He wrote the book, literally, on how Biden won last time. He's the author of the book, Lucky. And on the Michael Medved Show, just to let you know, we have just posted new on our Substack account the latest installment in a podcast series. It's available to you for free. You can go to michaelmedved.substack.com. It's a series called Myths, Misunderstandings, and Lies About the Middle East. And part six, which we just posted, is me disclosing to you privileged information about Israel's secret weapon. And no, this isn't something that blows things up. It's not a poison gas, God forbid. It's not anything of that nature. It's a secret weapon that is extraordinarily positive. To find out about it, go join us on Substack at michaelmedved.substack.com. We're talking about the ongoing reaction to President Biden's State of the Union address last night. Fox News got the biggest audience for the State of the Union address, but generally the ratings appear to have been very strong, and appear to have gone up very dramatically from the ratings last year, in February of last year, when Biden gave his prior State of the Union address. The headline in Fox News, which was a leading source of coverage for this event, Biden's State of the Union speech reinforced mental acuity and age concerns, Republicans say. And the lead says congressional Republicans slammed President Joe Biden's angry State of the Union address on Thursday night, claiming it furthered concerns about both his age at 81 years old and his mental acuity. Biden spoke to a joint session of Congress for the final SOTU, State of the Union, address of his term, emphasizing the threat he said his predecessor, former President Donald Trump, poses to democracy. And they then quote a number of Republican members of Congress who spoke about the speech in a negative way. And the general response has not been negative. It has been particularly to note President Biden's uncharacteristic energy. A lot of the time it was hard to understand what he was saying, said the House Freedom Caucus Chair Bob Good, Republican of Virginia. He was kind of mumbling and slurring. We couldn't understand him. He was so mad, agreed Senator Roger Marshall, the Republican of Kansas. The volume was up and down. At several points, Biden did raise his voice to emphasize his points, particularly when referring to Trump. Some Republicans criticized Biden's delivery as too angry. Marshall added he was very concerned about Biden's health. Really concerned in a positive or negative way. Representative Stephanie Bice, Republican of Oklahoma, said he kind of slurred over words occasionally. According to Representative Tim Burchett, Republican of Tennessee, Biden assured the country Thursday night that he does in fact have mental problems. He was yelling the whole time, reiterated Senator Bill Cassidy, Republican of Louisiana. Democrats, on the other hand, like Senator Chris Coons of Delaware, who has known Biden and worked with him for a long time, said he was very energetic, very engaged, very forceful, and very optimistic. The optimism was a major theme in the speech, particularly concerning his ambitions for a second term, if the people give him a second term. Brian Schatz, the senator from Hawaii, Democrat, said he was great. He was really fantastic. He was energetic. He was bold. He was clear. There's one Republican, Ryan Zinke, the former Interior Secretary, Republican of Nebraska. He conceded as a Republican. I think, in fairness, Biden had a good night. That appears to be the prevailing opinion of people who are keeping any sort of open mind. We'll be talking about that as it proceeds, because some of what happens with a speech like this is it's not so much the people who hear it, it's the people who hear about it. And I think the main message that people are going to hear about is that the president was full of energy and spunk, to use an old-fashioned word, and spirit. For instance, when he criticized President Trump again, he actually mentioned Trump 13 times. That may be to give Trump bad luck. But he never once mentioned him by name, never used the word Trump. That was like the character in Harry Potter, that you're not even allowed to mention the name. But he did refer to him as my predecessor. And here is where President Biden provoked some screams of liar, which reflects other speeches before Congress. One, Obama was called a liar by Congressman Joe Wilson of South Carolina. That was way back in the Biden administration. But here is what the exchange sounded like here, clip 12.
Isolation and loneliness. A president, my predecessor, failed the most basic presidential duty that he owes to American people, the duty to care. I think that's unforgivable. I came to office determined to get us through one of the toughest periods in the nation's history. We have. It doesn't make news, but in news in 1,000 cities and towns, the American people are writing the greatest comeback story never told.
Okay, the greatest comeback story never told. That's a fairly clever line. And there are a number of people, Elise Stefanik, who is, as we've talked about on the show before, very actively campaigning to be included on the ticket, to be named as the vice presidential choice by Donald Trump. But she has told people to ask the same basic question that Katie Britt, who gave the Republican response to the State of the Union, raised last night, which is, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And there are a number of people from all over the political spectrum who have taken up that challenge and looked at the numbers, many of which show that, yes, most people are better off than they were 4 years ago, better off even in terms of the current rate of inflation, better off in terms of unemployment, better off in terms of wage increases. If you compare the first 3 years of Trump to the first 3 years of Biden, and that, by the way, actually favors President Trump because he was not hit by the pandemic and the economic impact of the pandemic, which was devastating, as you'll remember, until the last, the third year, the end of the third year of his presidency, the last year of his presidency. Biden challenged Republicans, particularly about the border bill, and demanded that those Republicans do something to help pass that border bill. We will get to that exchange where there were more back and forth with the galleries and with some of the protests launched by Republicans in the House. We'll be right back. And on the Michael Medved Show, it is a pleasure to welcome back to the show NBC's Jonathan Allen, who is a senior political reporter for NBC. He is the author of the number one bestseller about the last presidential campaign, the presidential campaign of 2020. The book is called Lucky, which is what Jonathan Allen says Joe Biden was in order to win the presidency in a very hotly competitive campaign. We're in the midst of another one. Jonathan, do you think that President Biden helped himself last night with his widely viewed, as it turns out, performance in the State of the Union address?
I do, Michael, and particularly with two important categories of voters. Number one, folks who were with him, I think they were reassured last night by what was a vigorous and energetic speech, and certainly the people who are already on his side, I think, liked the sort of fiery partisanship, unusual for a State of the Union address, really more raw in its partisanship than you normally see. But I think another group of people that he helped himself with were voters who are undecided and have qualms about his age. He had a couple of stumbles during the speech, for sure, no doubt about it. But he did not look like the caricature of a listless and disengaged president that his critics so often make him out to be.
He's campaigning more directly than what you saw in the midst of the pandemic in 2020, is he not? Then the line from Republicans is that he spent the campaign hiding in his basement. He's out in Pennsylvania today. Apparently, they're planning a full month where he's scheduled to travel around the country, keeping the campaign going. Do you think he'll be able to sustain that energy?
It's hard to predict. The one thing that is true about presidential campaigns that candidates often find in their first campaign and then find again if they run repeatedly is that it can be extraordinarily grueling. That's true whether you're 81 years old or 41 years old. Just ask the candidates who got off the trail this time whether they'd ever experienced anything like it, and the answer will be absolutely not. So, we'll have to see if he's able to sustain that kind of energy, but he certainly got himself off on the right foot, I think, last night.
What about the background to him? Of course, as always, he had the vice president representing one house of Congress, the Senate, because the vice president is the president of the Senate. And then over his other shoulder was Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House. There's a lot of attention to the fact that even on material that was uncontroversial, where Mike Johnson agreed with what the president was saying, he never stood up. And it was peculiar because, of course, Kamala Harris was standing up every other sentence. Do you think that Johnson handled this well?
I think if you look at the stretch of people who have sat in that chair before with a president of the other party standing in front of them, you will certainly have seen, times where others applauded. But you've also seen, Nancy Pelosi tear up Donald Trump's speech. So the range is pretty wide. And I think he comported himself well. I mean, given the nature of our politics these days, I think it would be very difficult for Johnson to sustain politically with the Republicans in the House, who are already, somewhat dissatisfied with his leadership, to show approval for Biden at the level of standing. And I think that says more about, sort of where our politics are than it does about Mike Johnson individually. And I think he was respectful, which, in this day and age is
Yes, that's unusual.
Extraordinary. It's more. Yeah, right. Exactly.
He did stand up when President Biden invoked the name of his recent colleague, John Lewis, the late John Lewis, the civil rights hero. There, conspicuously, Mike Johnson did stand up. How about Marjorie Taylor Greene? She came in wearing a T-shirt that honored Lachlan Riley, who was the victim of an alleged illegal immigrant. And she also wore a Trump MAGA hat. Did she advance the cause?
Well, I think she advanced her own cause in terms of getting some airtime. And to, sort of get that issue front and center. But I think she also did Biden a favor in terms of, of handing him something, basically a prop that he was able to go use and raise the same concern that she's been raising, kind of neutralizing that a little bit. So, probably good for her, for her constituency, but also good for Biden and his ability to raise the issue and to talk about it in a way that, I think was probably met well by those who want to see, better border control. It's interesting. You said allegedly, but Biden did not last night.
No,
it's unusual for President of the United States to effectively convict somebody who hasn't been tried. But he was trying to sound tough on immigration, and she gave him an very easy and tangible opportunity to do that.
Two quick questions about crucial aspects of the campaign. Number one, President Trump said that he's already made up his mind about his running mate. Do you have any indication when President Trump would let the world know who he has chosen? And number two, will they debate? Should they debate?
I suspect that President Trump will allow all of the people who want to be that vice presidential pick to continue to try to curry favor with him, and we'll wait for a while. I don't think there's a lot of advantage to him in naming a nominee, with any great distance before the Republican convention. Traditionally, that naming happens right before a convention. I would expect that this will be a similar timeline. I could be wrong. There's only one person that makes that decision, and he is often difficult to predict. As far as debating goes, obviously Trump wants to debate. That wasn't what he wanted to do in the primary. It didn't serve his interests. I think he would love it if Biden, didn't debate him and he could mock Biden for not debating him. But I think it sounds like we may be moving back toward a place of debate.
Wouldn't a large part of that have to do with whether Robert Kennedy gets that 15% level of support that he would need to get to be included in the debate? Because there are reasons that both Trump and Biden would not want to put Robert Kennedy on that stage.
It's certainly a wild card for both of them. I think what we'll just have to see. And we'll have to see whether a debate would be managed by the longstanding Commission on Presidential Debates or by another entity. The rules there could change. I think it's unclear right now how that would actually come together. But there's reason for both of them to worry about being on stage with Kennedy. He's obviously taken some positions that are anathema to Biden, and he's taken some positions that are anathema to Trump.
It's obviously a very complicated situation. And particularly with the latest on no labels, they still don't have a candidate to run for them, do they? They were supposed to have a decision today.
Yeah, they keep moving the goalposts in terms of when they're going to try to name a candidate. So it is not clear whether they will have a candidate or who that candidate would be. I think what is clear is that there are going to be more than two choices for voters in November. That could significantly alter the outcome of the Electoral College.
Well, there's no question about it, as it has done before. If this is another close election, as people expect it will be, that could play a very powerful role. Jonathan Allen, appreciate your coming on in the midst of what is already a ferociously intense and competitive presidential race. Coming up, we're going to speak to Tom Nichols of The Atlantic, who notes that there is no way that Katie Britt's address, she gave the Republican response, does not end up as part of the SNL cold open coming up two nights from tonight. We will talk to Tom Nichols and more about this greatest nation.